My first parish was Saints Peter and Paul in Cary. It was there many years ago. And it was a beautiful day like today. And it was my day off, so a friend and I decided to shoot a round of golf at Cary Country Club. And a lot of other people had the same idea, so it was pretty crowded. So what they did, since we were just a twosome, they lined us up with two other golfers, and the four of us went out as a foursome. We didn't know the other two. And as we got into the round, one of the guys I didn't know, he was wired pretty tight and kind of a colorful person, and he'd hit a bad shot, and some words that probably shouldn't be spoken would come flowing forth from his mouth. And when he'd hit a really bad shot, there would be a lot of colorful language that would come forth. And we do the front nine, we get to the back nine, and this guy and I were walking down the fairway, going in the same direction. And you start to loosen up a little bit in the course of a round. And he asked me, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Roman Catholic priest." And the look that came over his face, and I said, "I could hear your confession right now if you like." Actually, I didn't say that. But he was pretty surprised. He said, "Gosh, why didn't you tell me? I would have watched my language a little bit more." And it opened up an avenue for some conversation with him. And I found out he grew up Catholic, but had drifted away and really hadn't been connected for a long, long time. And he seemed like he had had a, kind of a tough life and had probably gone down some dead end roads. And I said, "You can always always can come back." And but he, in a way, he thought he was too far gone, or that, I just sensed that he had really had some struggles and maybe didn't feel worthy to be able to return to God. And I tried to encourage him, and all you can do is invite. And I'm not sure what happened with him after that. But each one of us here, we have a notion or an image of God that we carry. And I wonder if his was of a God where there's not a, maybe a little bit stingy when it comes to forgiveness. So, but I did try to encourage him to make that turn back to the Lord. And he didn't swear the rest of the round, by the way. So, but I want to share a little story with you about another person. His name is Peter, and I came across his story in an article in U.S. Catholic. And it was an article that dealt with people may have drifted away, and some of the ways we can help people to make a return back to the church and to the Lord. And I just want to share a little bit of this article with you about Peter. It goes like this. He says that he grew up in a Catholic household and said that his parents had a tremendous fear of divine punishment. Their God was a very angry God. They frightened him as a young boy with talk of mortal sin, which was a sure ticket to hell. Peter grew up fearful of his father, who did not spare the rod when it came to assuring his son's morality. He was a nervous wreck as he prepared for his first confession. Like any child, he had trouble telling one authority figure from another. Father, priest, and God all seemed like angry parents who would surely find him out and punish him, perhaps mortally. The priest turned out to be as hardline as his father, sternly telling Peter how disappointed God was in him and giving him a harsh penance for his tiny infractions. Peter says in reflection on those early years, "The overwhelming message that I received was that deep down I was a bad person, and after a while, I believed it." After he got out of the house, he no longer had much use for his father or the church or God. He declared himself an atheist and lived that way for many years. But when he got into his late 40s, he realized that he wasn't an atheist after all. He slowly became aware of a presence that tugged at his heart. It was a presence that let him know he was cared for. And since that awakening, he has struggled to rid himself of the two lies that were branded on his soul as a young boy. The first being the identification of himself as a hopeless and worthless sinner, and the second being his identification of God as an unforgiving, punitive destroyer. Young children are very, very impressionable as they, they learn about God and the teachings of our faith and develop an image or understanding of God. And maybe for some of you, you've had maybe struggle in the same area where you grew up with an image of God who's a pretty angry tyrant who's going to whack you for the least little infraction. That's not an accurate image of who God is, but people can, in a way, get branded with that. You know, nowadays, I think it might be the opposite that might be more true. It's kind of like the marshmallow God, who's sweet and fluffy and not a lot of substance, very lax and permissive, not a whole lot of accountability for us as creation. So who is God? We celebrate the solemnity of the blessed, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We affirm that belief every time we make the sign of the cross. But where do we go for our image of God? And again, there's a lot of mystery when we're talking about God, who's always beyond. But where we go is especially to the Gospels. And when you see Jesus, when we hear his words, in a way observe him as we listen to the scriptures, he reflects the heart and the mind of who God is. And in today's gospel, we hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but might have life eternal. And when you see the way that Jesus brought forgiveness, the people bound in sin, the way that he brought healing to those who were broken, consolation to the grieving, compassion to those who needed to be lifted up. You know, Jesus sometimes had very challenging words, because God in the whole of the scriptures hates sin, but loves the sinner. And that was certainly Jesus, because God knows what sin can do in our lives. It can wreck relationships and families, wreak havoc in workplaces and in schools. And we just have to watch the news. You see the power of sin that can be alive in our world. And Jesus certainly challenged that, but always with the intention of helping someone find new life and lifting people up. One of the most powerful demonstrations of who God is Jesus on the cross, as you see behind me. What does that say about our God? It says that he's willing to do anything, even to sacrifice his life so that we can have life. And that's really the deepest form of love, is a sacrificial love. And he took upon himself all the sins of humanity, those who were before him, his contemporaries, all who would come after him. He took all that garbage upon the cross with him. It was crucified with him so that it would never have the upper hand, so that we can know forgiveness and freedom and new life. What a powerful form of love. Now that doesn't speak of a God who doesn't care, who is distant and uninvolved, but rather who is someone who passionately loves each of his creation, and that's you and me. You know, one of the things, that little story about Peter, maybe pick this up, but he was away from God for a long time, declared himself an atheist, away from the church. But then he noticed something in his deep within. And God always respects our freedom. If we want to walk, he'll let us walk. But he never gives up on us. And because he respects our freedom, he'll never be forceful, but always gently inviting. And that's the grace that Peter experienced deep within. And he eventually gave his yes to that and realized that God's not this nasty ogre that was painted for him as a young child, but rather the God who died on the cross out of love for him and really for all people. And maybe for you, as we gather today, maybe you've been away for a while, and I meet with people all the time who have been, and I've heard it again and again. When people do come back, just like Peter, that gentle invitation from God, something was missing, and they open themselves. Because when it comes to our relationship with God, certainly that intellectual knowledge, theological knowledge is very, very important. But really that soul relationship we have with the Lord, that's key. And that happens through our prayer, it happens through the sacraments, and that's what he opened himself to, and that's what all of us need to open ourselves to in a deeper way. If we're really to not just understand that God, but to really know him. And when that happens, everything changes. One other thing I wanted to share with you today. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And what does that mean? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect community, total harmony in those relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we're created in the image of God, we're really meant to be instruments of his peace in a world where there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of hatred, and there's a lot of brokenness. And he desires to work through you and me to bring that divine peace into our relationships and into our world. He also asks us to be instruments of his forgiveness and mercy in a world where there's a lot of vengefulness and where there's a lot of grudge keeping, to really bring a different type of presence into the world that brings freedom. It can bring new life and relationships. And you know, we see all the time the damage of hate and of vengeance, which typically just brings more vengeance and can even happen in our families. He also asks us to be instruments of his compassion in a world that can be very cold, where there can be a lot of indifference, and where there can be a lot of inhumanity. So as we gather today on this Holy Trinity Sunday, to know the Lord in a deeper way and who he really is, it's certainly reflecting on the Gospels, but it's also the Eucharist, and reflected on the crucifix behind me, which you look upon now, is a beautiful form of God's love and who God really is, one who is willing to give everything so that we can know freedom and new life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. How blessed are we.